Before we begin, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, recently, my family watched The Iron Giant, and it's a wonderful animated movie about a small boy named Hogarth and a giant robot from outer space. And in the movie, these two, they go through a lot together. At some point, they're on the run from the government, and on their journey, they become friends. The story ends with a nuclear missile being launched at the small town. And so the robot says goodbye to Hogarth, and then he flies off, and he soars directly into the path of the missile. And he saves the small town, and he saves his friend. Now, the first time we watched this movie, our little girl was heartbroken at this scene, you know. And what's funny is that at first she was afraid of the robot. But as the movie went on, she began to see the robot as her friend. You know, Jesus says, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." These verses hold the key to understanding friendship, and that's what I want to share with you today. You know, what the Iron Giant shows us and what Jesus is pointing out is that there's nothing more humanizing than friendship. There's nothing more life-giving than friendship, and there's nothing more painful than loneliness. You know, in this COVID season, sickness and death have rarely been closer, but what I've heard most is how much we miss being with each other, how much we miss being with family, how much we miss being with our friends. And we feel this way. We need friends because we need God. You know, when Jesus talks about love in today's reading, he's talking about friendship love. So when we heard, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you," what Jesus is saying is, as the Father and I have been eternally friends, so I befriend you. What Jesus is saying is that an essential part of the Trinity is the basis for all human relationships. You know, I mean, I know the Trinity is complicated and it doesn't feel like it makes sense. It doesn't feel like it makes sense at all. But I want you to consider this. Without the Trinity, the world doesn't make sense. You know, the Trinity explains why a giant robot becomes friends with a boy and how the giant robot becomes human under the influence of a little boy. Because the Bible tells us that before there was anything, there was friendship. Friendship was never created. It's always existed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friendship is at the root of all reality. And that's why relationship is more profound than philosophy or theology. And that's why friendship is more profound than even existence. Because friendship was before time and space, before anything. And that's why loneliness is such a cosmic pain. I mean, do you remember Adam? The first man, when he was created, he was perfect. There was no sin. And he walked and he talked with God, but he was still lonely. He didn't have Eve to share life with. You know, all of our problems, our anger, our anxiety, our fear, our cowardice, they arise out of our sin, out of our imperfections, except loneliness. In a way, it arises out of our perfection because we're made in the image of God. We need friends because we need God. You see, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." What he's saying is that the relationship between the Father and the Son inside the Trinity is the basis for all friendships. But then Jesus turns around and he says, "What you need is friendship with me above anything else." We all need friendship with other human beings, no doubt about that. You know, nothing can replace them. Adam needed Eve. And yet, as Jesus is pointing out, our need for friendship is so profound that no human relationship will ever be enough, because we're not perfect. And if you don't see this, you're going to become bitter and resentful, because we're all going to let you down. The only way to satisfy that need deep inside ourselves, that cosmic loneliness, is friendship with Jesus. So, how do you know you're friends with God? Well, Jesus points out in verse 15, he says, "I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." You know, actually, this makes a lot of sense. I want you to think about it. Friendship only gets off the ground if there's sharing, if there's intimacy, right? So in a friendship, you choose each other. You share your stories with each other, and then a friendship is born. Now, if you never share, if you're closed off, then you aren't choosing the other, and friendship won't work. Or if you overshare, if you force intimacy, the other person doesn't get a choice, really, and, well, that friendship won't work. In verse 15, Jesus is letting us in. He's offering intimacy. He's being vulnerable. You know, we're not servants to Jesus. He's chosen us as his friends by revealing the heart of God to us. So to be friends with God, well, it's up to us. We must choose Jesus. But what does choosing Jesus even look like? Well, I'm going to give you, you know, the classic Sunday school answer, but it's true. An important part is spending time with the Word of God, the Bible. You know, unlike any other philosophical or religious text, the Bible is the living, breathing Word of God. You know, if you're barely reading the Bible, and or if you do it because, you know, you're Christian, so you have to, well, then maybe you're a servant of God, but you're not a friend. You know, in Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you may grasp the love of God." You know, when you're reading the Bible and the words, they convict you and they comfort you and they challenge you and they become a part of you, you'll realize that the Bible is unlike any other book out there. You know, you're not just reading the Bible. You're reading it, but you're also dealing with a person, Jesus. It's friendship. You know, listen, if you get lost, you can always pull up Google Maps and it's going to give you directions. And that's fine until it doesn't work. I mean, how many times have you ended up exactly where Google Maps says you should be and you still can't get to your destination? Well, you could ask someone for help and they might draw you a map. And that's helpful. But what if the person says, "Listen, it's pretty complicated to get where you need to go. Why don't I walk with you? Why don't I help you get there?" All right, so they're not just giving you a map. They're giving you a relationship. And God is saying to you, "Do you want guidance? Do you want to know where you're going? Do you want to know what your purpose is? Do you want to know your future? Okay, put that self-help book down. Put down the tarot cards. You know, get off of Google and Wikipedia. Because Jesus is offering to walk with you. You know, it's not magic. It's friendship with the Creator. And unlike any human friendship, Jesus will never let you down. You know, when I was halfway through university, my housemate was struggling with an addiction. And because of our housing situation, I was left financially devastated. I couldn't return to school the following year. I couldn't afford it. You know, no matter how many hours I worked, I could only pay my rent and my bills. I didn't have enough to pay back the tuition I owed. And the university, they were pretty clear with me. They told me, you know, we're not a charity. You can't continue classes until you pay what you owe. and I didn't know what to do. When the following year began and all of my friends went back and I couldn't go back to school. Oh, man, I was devastated. And then one night I had a dream where I asked a certain friend for help. And when I woke up, it seemed weird, but it also just made sense. And so I made the call. And listen, I just called my friend. And he doesn't come from money, all right? He was at the beginning of his career, actually. But I called him and I asked for help to borrow some cash, maybe just enough to make a dent into my debt. Then maybe the school would let me start classes. I don't know. And so he said, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, I'm going to pay for the whole thing. Listen, that's several thousand dollars for young guys in their early 20s. I mean, for almost anyone, I think. That's a lot of money. And, you know, he'll never make a big deal about this. You know, but I'll never forget his kindness. His kindness changed my life. He's my iron giant. You know, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. My friend who paid my debt, he's the best. And yet I know, and if he was here, he'd tell you the same thing, that given enough time, any friend will let you down. Except Jesus. You see, no one has given their life for anyone except Jesus. I mean, listen, I can't give my life for you because my life is already forfeit. I'm going to die anyway. I mean, none of us die voluntarily. All of us have an appointment we can't miss. Our lives are forfeit because of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not a single person can die voluntarily. You know, I can, at best, give up a few years so you can have a few more. But Jesus is the only one who didn't have to die at all. That's why we heard a couple of Sundays ago in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. In effect, Jesus says to us, death has no claim on me. If I die for you, you don't just get a few years. I cover all your sins. Right? Like, in other words, what Jesus says is, you know, my death for you is the basis for your entire life and entire future. Because I died, my Father can receive you into his family forever. Listen, I know we've all experienced something like this. You know, you share something tender with someone, you know, you make yourself vulnerable, and they don't get it. They judge you, they scoff at you, maybe they even laugh at you. And after that, you really can't be friends with that person. Let's not do that to Jesus. Listen to what he says to us. In verse 15, I no longer call you servants. I have called you friends. He's saying, I mean, if you want, you can focus primarily on good deeds, right? You can be all about social justice, or you can be super religious and super moral. And Jesus said, you can do all that without ever knowing me. But if you want to be my friend, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to know me personally, you have to build your life on the fact that I laid down my life for you. In other words, we have to move from being moral to saying, Jesus, I see that because you laid down your life for me, you're my only hope. I'm going to live for you. You're number one in my life. I receive you as Lord and Savior. There's repentance here. Acknowledging the truth of who we've been. Remember the garden? You know, Jesus says to his friends, just stay awake with me and pray for me. And then immediately the disciples fall asleep. Yeah. That's a picture of you and me. The reason Jesus is a friend to us isn't because we're such good friends. It's because he is such a good friend. Jesus loves you not because you're perfect, but because he's perfect. He already loves you. You're being invited to this friendship. You're being invited to repentance. Not the kind that creates crushing guilt, but the kind that creates momentary grief, but that leads to healing. You know, grief that shatters all of my excuses and rationalizations so that all that's left is the realization that I've hurt my friend who laid down his life for me and who will never let me down. You know, that creates grief, but it's for a moment. But the healing my heart and soul receive is forever. You know, in many ways, we're that iron giant. We're that robot. We just don't fit into this world. We long for that friendship that will make us human. And that friend is here, in Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are humbled by the fact that you have offered us your friendship. And God, we want to accept it. We want to be friends with you. Help us to put your gift, your death on the cross, at the center of our lives. Help us to live out of that truth that you love us so much. Help us to follow you every day of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.